Okay, Girly Nation, expect more and pay less at Target. Come on, who doesn't shop at Target? Drop that beat. What you gonna do? Let's keep it 100 this summer. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and the flowers are blooming. Pre-Memorial Day savings have arrived. Memorial Day will be here really, really soon. But pre-holiday savings have arrived just in time for summer. Link to this week's deals from my website at ninababel.com/podcast. You're going to look for episode number 20, which gives you the links to this week's store discounts. What's up, Girly Nation? Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, coming to you live and direct from Washington, D.C. I'm your hostess with the Keep It 100 Girl Mostess. It's Nana, Nina Babel, and as always, I keep it 100, and you know, y'all, I keep it real and true. But this is where women come forward to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing and super cray-cray. And from the start, I am unapologetically myself. This is the no prude zone. I talk to you like I talk to my own girlfriends. So think of how you talk to your own girlfriends, whether it's over the phone, text, din-din and drinks. That's the feeling I want you to experience on each of my episodes. But here's the dealio. I share what women are thinking, but you know what? You're not saying out loud. Because most of us are too shy, nervy, embarrassed to ask. Our stories are real and raunchy, cray-cray, edgy. And you know what? Some of you might even consider it taboo. One rule of my podcast is we overshare. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? So in last week's episode, I revealed how most women need to take the biological clock seriously. Women came forward to reveal their personal struggles with starting a family, and medical expert Nora Bolger from the Reproductive Medical Associates in Connecticut strongly encouraged women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s to start thinking and planning your fertility journey early. But in today's episode, I'm revisiting relationships. We're talking about emotionally unavailable men. And I know each and every one of you know at least one, maybe two, three. They all come in different shapes and sizes. But just to be clear, I'm not bitter. We're not bitter. We're just being realistic. We're self-reflecting on lessons some of us may or may not have learned yet when it comes to choices we've made in selecting the wrong partner and really coming to terms with it. Girly Nation is made up of strong, independent women. But these are the women who also attract and are attracted to emotionally unavailable men. And you want to know the irony of it is your strength, your independence, that you claim have not been your strongest asset in attracting men. I'm not pointing fingers, but the lesson here is to stop trying to fix a broken person because you know what? You may end up cutting yourself on one of their one too many shattered pieces. By the end of this episode, these are the habits I want you, yes, you, to break. Be with someone who knows exactly what they have when they are with you, not someone who will realize it after they've lost you. So I solicited the help of Colin Tate, who's a relationship coach and author of Is This Your Man? His strength is helping women figure out who they're dating, why they're dating him, and why they are staying in the relationship with him. In today's episode, you're going to hear the following. Colin will pinpoint the whole genesis behind an emotionally unavailable man. Next, Colin and I will talk about and define an emotionally unavailable man. Number three, the kinds of emotionally bankrupt men out there. Number four, women who are attracted to emotionally unavailable men. And lastly, there are two sides to every story. But to make sure you have a complete book and picture, you're gonna meet an emotionally available man. How about that? I told Colin I was dating this guy for 3 months. He was barely a blip on my radar when it comes to a relationship status, more like an official relationship status. And it turns out after 3 months, the guy I was dating made the decision and communicated he was not emotionally available. So it took me a minute to digest this because it was the first time I had heard this term and it felt like it was thrown in my face. That's what it felt like. At first, I viewed it as a sign of weakness on his part, and then I summed him up as damaged goods. I never had the privy or the privilege of hearing this term before as an out to end a relationship. Normal people use terms like, it's over, let's be friends, I met someone else, I'm not in love with you, or it's not working out, along with a reason or various reasons why. But Colin gave me an answer I wasn't quite ready for, and it threw me off a little bit, but it's worthy to share because a lot of times we don't have this kind of access to the way men think, and oftentimes we think it's not us, it's always them.
He chooses what he wants from which woman. Don't get to let him off the hook by thinking he's naive and doesn't understand that this is what happens in a normal relationship. That's just the game he's playing. He knows the difference. He just is choosing not to do it for you. But he'll do it for somebody else. We know. So just don't make excuses for a man's excuses. We know what needs to be done. We're not 15. We've been around the block long enough. We know what a woman wants. We know what a woman doesn't like. We know. We just decide who we're going to do it for and who we're not.
By the way, when a guy tells you directly he's damaged and even has the balls to tell you he's emotionally unavailable, you've been seriously warned. And I'm going to use the analogy of the fire alarm drills that take place in the workplace. And I'm going to equate this event in my life to those fire alarm drills that take place at work. Remember, we're always instructed to leave the building when they're having these fire alarm drills and not to stay inside. Well, it's the same thing. When he warns you and gives you that fire alarm, he's warning you that he's not a traitor. You've been instructed to leave the area. Dude didn't come out and say it, but my radar picked up certain cues along the way. Like he wanted to go out, he wanted to play the field, he wanted to hang out with his boys and experience other women. I mean, he's a good guy, he had good intentions, but when someone doesn't want to act like your significant other, or in some cases your boyfriend, and he complains about it, you are wasting your time. When he started complaining about morning texts, morning phone calls, why do I have to do it? That baffled me because I was like, this is what normal people do. I mean, this is what I've been conditioned to do all my life. Why should I stop? Because you don't want it. So ladies, in no uncertain terms, he gave me a subliminal message. He told me he didn't want a relationship. And it would have been a big mistake for me to continue on and fall for him. No blame game here. I decided to go and exit stage left with a quickness. I chose me. Don't have to tell me twice. If you're emotionally unavailable, there are no reasons for you to be dating in the first place, and certainly not me. In fact, homeboy earned his walking papers the minute he uttered those words. And funny thing is, it's stuck to me like glue ever since. According to Colin Tate, you need to understand the whole genesis behind an emotionally unattached man. These men weren't taught love in their household, or they experienced some kind of dysfunction within their family relationships, or even past relationships with women. So why do you care? Well, you do because it translates onto you.
When men have a lack of love growing up, they have a hard time maybe showing affection. There's an emptiness in their life. So it's like when we're born, men, our parents pour a certain amount of love or attention or confidence into our life or into our cup, for this example. But if the father's not there, then the cup is already empty. So with men, we sometimes look to fill that cup through sexual encounters with women.
Have you ever tried to have a discussion with someone who can't discuss their feelings or failed relationship or issues and concerns? This is another kind of emotional unavailability, and it manifests in so many other ways. Men know they are emotionally unavailable. Some don't volunteer that information. It's awkward, like painfully awkward, because personally, for me, it's the biggest red flag in a relationship. It makes me feel so uncomfortable when someone cannot respond or they walk away because they're incapable. And the bigger picture is it makes it impossible to have the harder conversations as a couple. Before we go any further, Colin will define an emotionally unavailable man and help us understand better what makes them tick. For me, I'll tell you this, many emotionally unavailable men are normal men who aren't ever going to fall in love with a woman they're currently dating.
You know, usually when women deal with an unemotional or unavailable man, they start to notice those triggers when they're in a actual relationship with them. And that's why I said they have a hard time expressing affection. They have a hard time expressing love, attention. They don't like to kiss. They don't like to hold hands. That's where they weren't taught how to show love because it wasn't shown in their household. Their mothers didn't hug them, or their fathers didn't hug them, or their mother wasn't in their life, or their father wasn't in their life. That's usually when it happens. But in terms of the courting process, even that same unavailable, unemotional man, he knows to call you when he's supposed to. He knows if we have a date that not to blow you off. He knows what things to do to get to that point. But if he's not even at that point in the courtship process or in those first 3 to 4 months, it's because he's choosing not to, but he's going to do it for somebody else. Now, whether he gets engaged to that person, then she may see some of the emotional issues where he's not affectionate, or he holds in a lot of anger, he doesn't talk, or that's when you start dealing with the unemotional, unavailable stuff. But when you're just dating and he's just not doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's what we call in my book, the BSer. That's all he's doing. He's just being a BSer.
In his book, Is This Your Man?, Colin has created 6 categories of men, and the BSer is one of those 6 men. I asked Colin to elaborate and state the difference between an emotionally unavailable man and a BSer, if any.
The BSer, there are 2 types. There's the vested BSer, and that's where the relationship has more invested in it, where you guys live together, you may share a child together, you may be engaged, but he never fully commits to you. You've been dating this guy for years, and there's always something. You haven't got married, you've constantly accused him of cheating, or you've caught him cheating, but he just never fully commits. And then the unvested BSer is where the relationship's more on and off again, where you've never met his parents, he hasn't met your parents, you haven't made it to any holidays, he only comes to your house, or you never made it to his house, and he disappears for days, weeks, months at a time, and then comes back into your life as if nothing has happened. But the problem with dating these BSers and putting up with their crap is what happens is you'll be dealing with this guy. I've met women that have dealt with guys like this for 10 years, and then when he's done, you'll see him turn around and marry the next woman he meets in 6 months. And that's why I say, even with these unavailable, unemotional men, they still want commitment. They still want commitment. Now, how emotional, how available will they be once they're in the commitment is a whole other story. But they still want to at least get to the room of having a committed relationship with a woman they care about. They just don't know how to express it in the proper way.
Stay away from people who make you feel like you are hard to love. Women are quick, real quick, to blame themselves first. What did I do? What should I have done? You're not hard to love. That's the mistake we make time and time again. By nature, we're fixers and pleasers, and we bring that into a relationship.
So anytime a man questions that, that's always a get-out-of-jail-free card for us. So anytime a man is questioning something about you that you consider abnormal, he's BSing you. He is BSing you. If he's saying, why are you calling me, or what do you mean I need to be on time? BS. Because, again, I always ask yourself this, Anita, would he do this for Celebrity X? Would he still treat Beyonce this way? Would he still treat Rihanna this way? And if the answer is no, then you know he's doing it by choice. Always know that if he's doing it by choice, that means he's making a conscious, purposely decision to say, I'm going to treat Nina this way. Not because I don't know how, I choose to treat Nina this way. But if this was Beyonce, oh no, but thank you for calling Beyonce. How are you doing this morning? He'll love to hear from her.
Embracing your shadows. The world outside you is, believe it or not, a reflection of the world inside of you. August is in her 30s, newly single, and admits, you know, she was vulnerable post-breakup with her ex. But now she thought she met a super charmer, but he's actually a super charmer gone bad.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really sad that there's so much pressure on guys to not be emotional. I think it's like considered not masculine, and it's so hurtful. But I actually dated a sociopath, like a qualifiable sociopath. I did a whole series on it on my blog and show because there are these charmers who strategically work their way into your life. He found me at a really vulnerable time when I was going through a massive breakup, and he seemed, quote, perfect, which is one sign. Like, I mean, just totally whisked me up off my feet, like the whole kind of fairy tale thing, and gradually became very, very, very controlling. And I just felt emotionally like I could not get out. He tricked me into living with him. Like, it was crazy. He had a friend of ours. We met in an acting class, and there was this fellow student who was really, really going through a tough time financially. And this boyfriend of mine knew that I had a lot of compassion for this individual. So he convinced that guy to ask me to sublet my apartment for just like a week or two. And so he did. And my boyfriend at the time was like, well, just come stay with me. You stay over here all the time, you know? And then he was paying him to do that. Like, he literally wanted me trapped. And the other guy ended up taking over my apartment. And I just felt like I couldn't get out. And he would have these temper tantrums. He wasn't violent at me, but he was violent around me. And he would get very temperamental and have these outbursts. Again, not directed at me. So that was always the thing that I was like, he would just have these freakouts about how he had been abandoned as a child and I was the only thing he had. And he was trying to keep me from moving to Los Angeles, knowing that I was moving here. It was just a big disaster. So I think it's really important for women to know that these kinds of things happen and to see the signs. And one of them is that superficial charm, you know?
Why are you dating him? Why would August continue to give this relationship, as crazy as it is, a chance?
What she was dealing with is what a guy in my book is called the CEO. This is a man that has the tendency to be very controlling. He can be very jealous. He has the tendency to be very verbally, emotionally, sometimes financially and physically abusive. He has the tendency in the beginning to be what is considered a great guy. It is like you're experiencing a fairy tale. He has no problem taking this relationship to the next level. It is as if he is trying to force 3 months worth of dating in a 1 month time span. He has no problem about moving things forward. He has no problem about taking things to the next level. And he knows that women kind of get enamored or caught up with that. But the reason he moves so fast is because he wants to isolate a particular woman and pull her from her support system so he can have complete control over the situation. Because of his deep-rooted insecurities, and it may come from abandonment issues with his mother or father or both, he may have been teased as a child, or he may have low self-esteem or body image issues himself. Because of his low self-esteem, he has to lead with what he can do for a woman. So a lot of times these men don't think they're good enough, so they lead with what they can offer you, what they can buy you, what they can take care of. And again, to most women, it would seem like a fairy tale, but because of him moving so fast, he wants to quickly isolate you. Now, once he isolates you from your support system, that's when the real monster comes out. He becomes very jealous. He's very insecure. He does something we call in psychology leveling, meaning that if he perceives that somebody is better than him, he will do things to kind of knock that person down to his level. Or what he will do is bloviate himself and make himself seem better than that perceived person. So this is the type of man that there's nothing you can do to change his behavior. He has to change it with himself. Now, he does target women who also have their own issues themselves. I have a theory that we date who we are. So a CEO will target women who have also abandonment issues, usually with their father as well. There is some low self-esteem. There are some issues going on with that person as well, because usually women who have a strong mindset, very independent, they don't necessarily fall prey to his advances. They don't necessarily fall prey to the fairy tale or to the dream or to how this man is leading with what he can provide.
In addition to my own experiences, real women give mother freaking real life advice. They will express their personal bloopers when it comes to sensitive girly stuff.
Joanna's in her 30s and now engaged. She reflects back on how she knew the signs right away when she met an emotionally unavailable man. And then conversely, she describes being in a dead-end relationship with an emotionally unavailable man. And she likens it to an addiction.
Definitely just self-confidence, just very dependent. And I feel like definitely to love himself first before you try to love anyone else and get his own emotions together.
Now, is that something you didn't pick up right away?
I would say probably after about 2 dates.
So was that a deal breaker for you?
It was. I feel that as a man, you need to definitely be emotionally in tune with yourself as a human being. If you're not, how can you be emotionally involved with anyone else?
And you didn't know him long enough to know why he was like that.
Nope.
Yeah, or didn't care.
Didn't care.
Right.
Okay, move on.
Right. Keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
The infamous fixer. Are you one of those women thinking you're going to change him, help him out, or fix his situation to make him better? Some of you are guilty of it. Being a fixer is totally innate and natural for women. But with the wrong person, you're going to burn out. Remember I talked about trends, the whole learned behaviors? She knows she's part to blame. Stacy is in her 40s, divorced, and single mother of one. She knew. She knew exactly what she was getting involved with an emotionally unavailable man. But she's attracted to that. It suits her lifestyle.
He told me everything about himself. He was not secretive.
Right.
He told me how he treated his daughter's mother. He told me how he treated his ex-fiance. And the person you are thinks, well, I'm not them. Instead of remembering you're female, you are them. So, yeah, it wasn't like he hid and he was like, you know, I have a great relationship with my daughter. And he didn't. He was honest. I don't have a great relationship with my daughter. And I was just like, oh, I could probably help him with that. I'm the fixer.
Yeah, you're the fixer.
The double whammy for being a fixer is you turn around and you make excuses for your man's behavior. Women expect to love a man despite all that he is going through. And you think being there would be enough, but it isn't.
Just don't make excuses for a man's excuses. We know what needs to be done. We're not 15. We've been around the block long enough. We know what a woman wants. We know what a woman doesn't like. We know. We just decide who we're going to do it for and who we're not.
Women make excuses for men all the time, especially when we're talking to our girlfriends. It's a safe face thing combined with self-denial. Colin calls this the benefit of the doubt theory. No matter how bad the situation sounds, when you make excuses, ladies, it's part of telling the universe your justification of staying in the relationship or putting up with the situationship. You heard me. You might think saying it out loud confirms to the universe, you know what? It's not as bad as it really seems. Then your girlfriend gives you that yes, girl endorsement. That just compounds the issue even more and escalates it to a bigger problem down the road that will make you miserable and guaranteed depressed.
And we know that. And we call it the benefit of the doubt theory. It's where women say to themselves or to their girlfriends, well, you know, maybe that is what happened, or, you know, girl, maybe that is the case, or maybe he didn't do it. And giving a man the benefit of the doubt is what still keeps us in business, is what still keeps us playing the game. So I always tell women, when dealing with a man, the two things you have to remember. One, listen to what a man does, not what he says. A man's actions tells you everything. And two, follow your instincts and ignore your emotions. Your instincts are telling you that something's wrong, but your emotions want you to ignore it.
On the flip side, some emotionally unavailable women out there seek those emotionally unavailable men. To Stacy, the emotionally unavailable man is like the rebound man or the friend.
You got what I need, but you say he's just a friend.
and you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you.
She doesn't have to be serious with, but she calls when she's down or has a good time. It's intentional, all for their selfish reasons, too. I mean, this could be a fog for some of you to understand, but clearly, it's these women who fail to see the light. Stacy knows. Why are they in a relationship? This is clearly about being fuck buddies. Although both intentions are real, but if a man and a woman are not willing to commit emotionally, what's left? Just sex. Pure, unadulterated, freaky sex. You know, that's the time to get your freakazoid on. And there's really no pressure to be in a relationship.
This guy now, Andrew, is the first person I've ever had, I'm not kidding, had relations with that there's no relationship. It has been a learning experience. It has been the most frustrating, exciting experience I've ever had in my life because I'm so built to place it in a relationship. And he is so well-structured that it is what it is. He's younger. Okay. Andrew's 31. And, you know, I'm 40. So he's really just about, I don't want a relationship right now. And he stays that way. Like, he ain't changing.
Right.
And he presented it just like that. I don't want a relationship. Whatever happens, you know, is sex.
Right.
And even in a year, I think I've created some kind of relationship thing with Andrew in my head just so I can accommodate the sex. But this is my first relationship, sexual experience where there is no relationship. But in my head, I have created a relationship, even though he's not participating, just to justify giving him sex.
So what's the, is that the frustrating part you mentioned? Like you said, it's frustrating and it's exciting, this new...
Yeah, it's frustrating because I feel out of my norm. But then it's exciting because the relationship part doesn't exist. I feel like I can do whatever I want to him or say whatever. And it's like...
It doesn't matter.
You fucking deal with it or you just don't.
Right.
Do you want sex or not?
Right.
I say things to Andrew that I would never say to somebody in a relationship. Example, what I'm trying to say is like I will accuse him of things or... I don't think I've ever held off sex, but I would just get attitudes with him. And I'm like, whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing is, I don't care because in the next sentence, I go, are you coming over now or should I wait? Are we going to wait till tomorrow instead? Because it's so separated. There's no relationship. So I could just be nasty bitch. And it's like, whatever, we're going to have sex, right? And it makes the sex more exciting because we're pissed at each other.
Right.
So it's kind of weird.
But then those are the kind of balls, too, you wish you had in a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think now that I've learned this new skill that in relationships that come up, I could apply them. Nope.
You go back to pleasing, fixing.
Yeah.
Colin calls this a dangerous situation. Ladies, don't expect the non-committal man to change for you. When he commits, hands down, it will almost certainly lead to someone else.
That's a dangerous game for women because women aren't, you can't just sleep with guys and think there will be no emotional attachment. Now, some women can, but then there's also deeper reasons that cause them to do that as well. But you got to be careful of playing that game because if the sex is good and you start getting emotionally attached to them, then you're kind of stuck.
William is emotionally unavailable.
I've heard that term. I don't like it. I got thrown that term at me last year and I said, you know what? You just got your walking papers.
Probably a very broad way of saying it, but I believe it exists. And the emotionally unavailable people are extreme from the guy that cheats. It's not about them with somebody else. It's about them with themselves. It's like they don't know how to lend themselves to other things. And sometimes they lend themselves to other things, but it's not you. Like, his family engrosses his life, and he will jump if they say jump. If I ask William to jump, I got to wait for him to respond first.
For Stacy, the sexual compatibility is a thrill. And she knows what not to expect out of him.
You know, Nina, you made a good point about hating that statement, and I agree with you. It's a very broad statement, and it's a statement that lets men off the hook. She made a statement about how he lends himself to his family, but not her. How she would text him, and it would take him 2 hours to respond. She is just dealing with what's called, in my book, a BSer. This man is just bullshitting her. It is not that he's unavailable. I've always said, men... We know how to treat women right. We know how to be faithful. We know how to be attentive. We know how to be caring. We know how to call what we're supposed to call. We just simply decide who we want to treat right and who we want to treat wrong. It's that simple. You know, we're not 15 years old where we're still trying to figure it out. Any man who's 20 years old and above, he knows by now what a woman likes and what a woman doesn't like. He's just choosing not to do it. And I would ask this young lady, do you think if Beyonce Knowles sent him a text message, do you think it would take him 2 hours to text her back? And the answer is no, because he has chosen who he wants to treat right. So the key for her is to find a man that treats her like he is, that you are his Beyonce. Like, my wife is my Beyonce. So I make sure that I cherish her, I care for her. So when dealing with a man, always follow these two tips. One, listen to what a man does, not what he says. A man's actions will tell you everything. And two, follow your instincts and ignore your emotions. Your instincts are trying to speak to you and get you to stay away, but your emotions want you to ignore it. So follow these tips. Because, ladies, at the end of the day, finding love is not difficult. It's only hard if you continue to give your heart and your love to the wrong man. I hope this has helped you, ladies. This is Colin Tate. If you have more questions, you can follow me on Twitter or go to my website, isthisyourman.com.
Learn what women are thinking, but not saying out loud. On this podcast, Nina chats about socially awkward real-life moments and sensitive girly stuff most girlfriends talk about on a daily basis. Think of Nina as your go-to girlfriend.
Once you learn to be happy, you know what? You won't tolerate being around people who make you feel anything less. And this is a life skill you're going to acquire over time. No one can give it to you. But an episode like this can really put that bug in your ears so you avoid the plunge. In order to be hipper to the relationship game, the key is to recognize these dysfunctional signs of an emotionally unavailable man.
I had to do the same thing before I got married. What am I doing wrong? Why do I keep picking women that I feel the need to rescue? And the reason I was doing it because I had my own issues and my own insecurities, and I didn't think Colin was good enough. So if Colin didn't think he was good enough, I felt I had to bring the whole kitchen sink along with myself to show these women I was good enough. And when I did that, I kept picking badly every single time, every single time. Mm-hmm. So when you meet women who are single and you meet men who are single, the bad news is it's them. The good news is it's them, meaning they are in control of changing their situation or changing their luck.
Which leads me next to an emotionally available man. Do you know what that even is? Chris is in his 40s and divorced and claims the emotionally available card.
I think in large part it really is something that's a learned behavior. It's a defensive mechanism of some sort. Myself, I was pretty lucky, I think. I dated a little bit in high school and college, and things picked up a fair bit after college. But I didn't really kind of encounter anybody who wasn't really real for me, who I didn't know anything about game playing, and I didn't meet any game players, or at least, you know, maybe they were too good, or I was too naive to notice it. But I guess I kind of ducked a lot of that. And by the time I hit my mid-20s, I was in a long-term relationship, and that person became my wife, and we were together a really long time. Emotional availability was never an issue for us. But I am divorced now and single after 20-odd years with this person. And, you know, only now in my middle age am I kind of encountering, not everybody, but, you know, it's certainly more than I ever kind of discovered before. This is something I might have heard of from time to time and, you know, from your boys and whatever, but I never experienced it myself. But yeah, there's people out there now with spiky baggage. And it's a different thing now kind of encountering this, you know, in mid-age versus your salad years and so on. But yeah, there's people out there who've been scarred by bad relationships. And I think that stuff's a virus. Once you've been burned badly once, twice, you know, a few times, you know, obviously people can get gun shy. You know, it's pretty natural to some extent. It's maybe it's like a PTSD type of thing. And then you become that person who's unwilling to give emotionally. And that's potentially something, you know, an attitude or approach that's going to affect the person that you're dealing with. So if and when that does break up, that behavior is something that the other person picks up and they infect the next person that they're interacting with, and it spirals out. So over time, the only people who are inoculated against that kind of thing are the ones who are already in a fully loving relationship. relationships with mutual availability, that kind of thing. So the few remaining singles, you know, the hopefuls and the so-called romantics, they're trying to dodge the zombies. There's always a zombie analogy in there. But yeah, you know, I don't kind of do the thing where I'm, you know, waiting for the other person to extend themselves and so on. You know, it should be a fairly natural kind of expression. But yeah, I'm lucky in that this stuff kind of happened to be relatively late in life, I guess, decades past my formative years. I can see how if this stuff happened in, you know, again, in my formative years, that it could have, you know, kind of twisted me up a little bit.
Avoid the spiky baggage. According to Chris, being emotionally available to your partner sets up success for a true relationship.
That's the only way to discover a true connection, is being upfront and being available. It's the only way that it has a chance to last. So if you're going into a relationship full of fear and half expecting it's going to fail and that kind of thing, it's obviously definitely going to be a self-fulfilling thing.
I love it. I love how Chris said to avoid the cage matches where you're swirling in the same space, chasing each other's tail and really getting nowhere.
Keeping your head clear and not over-investing in someone who's not showing you similar regard. But at the same time, you know, you need to feel licensed, you know, to show your feelings. You don't have to feel shame about it if you're actually feeling it. So give that person some space and, you know, and a comfortable path to express the same. And it should be a reciprocal thing. It's something that sort of builds and you see some progression and behavior that's in keeping with what you'd expect of someone who actually likes you. And I think that's probably the heart of the, you know, he's not that into you thing or whatever. Just, you know, it should make sense, you know, if the person actually likes you. And it's not some stupid cage match where you're circling each other, basically waiting for the other one to make a move and that kind of thing. It doesn't go anywhere. So that you want to get out of.
So I want you to pause for a second. Self-reflect. The mind usually knows what to do to heal itself. For me, I found it an important reminder and lesson to all women, including myself. I look back at my choices, the men I dated, and even some of the trends. I didn't realize until now that there was, in fact, a trend. My personal trend was men coming back after they lose me. So you want to be with somebody who knows exactly what they want when they have you in their possession. I always come back to that. You don't want to be with someone who will realize it after they lost you. And I didn't pay attention to this valuable lesson because I was too caught up in my own glory, knowing that my ex will always come back and I would purposely make them pay. It was my payback to say, you know, you had it good when you had me and you screwed up. You should have realized my worth, my mintage, and value when you had me. Now, boop, be gone. It's too late. The lesson was bigger than that, Nina. At that time, they were also emotionally unavailable, and I just didn't know really how to detect it. The real challenge is to get your mind on board. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away, and you know what? It just comes with practice, unfortunately. A lot of us guilt ourselves for wasting so much time. There's an African proverb which I absolutely adore, and it's the axe forgets what the tree remembers. Timing is different for everybody. And when you are personally ready to take charge, believe me, it's empowering. Whether you do it on the front end or on the back end. Joanne accepts these events in her life as a learning experience, and even better, a blessing.
I have in the past, and you know, I guess love is blind. Once you stay in a situation for so long that's not good for you, you end up, you know, it's hard. It's even harder to get out of it, and it's like an addiction. And you know, if you have a great love life, it's a great partner, it's a great addiction. But if it's not the person for you, it's a really bad addiction, and it's very hard to move forward, but once you get out of it, just like any type of addiction, you're good. And you're set free to, you know, meet the right person. You know, at least one time in our lives we do. But I do think, though, you know, I would never, ever in my life take it back, because I feel like it makes you appreciate that right person when you date the wrong person. But once you find the right person, it's like, wow, this is what it feels like to be, you know. And you don't take it for granted, because you know how it feels to be loved wrongly and to be, you know, not with the right one. It just helps you to keep that right person, because it's very limited. When you find it, you keep it. But in the case that you are in a situation with the wrong person, I do feel like it's something, a place for you to, like, just grow from and just learn that, okay, this isn't the person for me. However, I'm going to leave the situation and better is to come. So don't take it the wrong way. You don't have to be depressed. It's a learning experience. It's a lot of life, and it can make you feel like you're unworthy, like, just to have spent that much time with someone, but nothing is a mistake. And sometimes you do have to go through some pain in order to find your purpose. Sometimes God will put you through that pain to get you to where you need to be. Without it, you wouldn't even keep your big blessing.
I've learned now to pay very, very close attention to the words men choose. How they say it, I don't take it for face value, and I certainly don't think it's cute because you can help them, fix them, or please them. Look at his actions and remember what he says before the unnecessary shenanigans happen. If you haven't noticed already, there's always a trend. We are creatures of habit, good and bad ones. It's learned behavior that's repeated. It's up to you to take charge and notice what they are. Start thinking differently, don't blame yourself, and take time to reclaim you. Don't protect your heart by acting like you don't have one either. Bring down those walls. The first step is writing down each boyfriend or girlfriend relationship and how it ended. Do you see a trend? There's your answer. And that wraps up another episode. Emotional bankruptcy is real. It's really real, ladies. You always have the chance to say no thank you or enjoy the ride if you choose. Don't hope he will suddenly become available either. When he says or shows you he's emotionally available, believe him then. I encourage you to fine-tune your listening skills. That's really the key, the major key, to listen to the words your significant other says. If something sticks and your gut doesn't like it, pay attention. Write it down. Journal it. Is it a trend? Is it a behavior that you see repeatedly? And most importantly, at the end of the day, how does it make you feel? Choose you. Thanks again to author Colin Tate for participating in today's episode. Links to Colin's books will be made available in the show notes. Myself and Girly Nation reveal our tell-all experiences, these aha moments, and lastly, mother friggin' girlfriend knowledge. And I'm here to empower you every week, girlies, and give you that weekly dose of self-confidence and help you realize your self-worth. But before you go, you need to give me some love, Girly Nation. If you like this episode, kindly subscribe, rate and review the Keep It 100 Girl podcast in iTunes or Stitcher. Girly Nation, this is what helps me stand out from the crowd and makes me visible. You can connect with me on social media. I love Twitter, Instagram, and even more, Snapchat. Use the handle @NinaBabel to connect with me. Or you know what? Just head on over to my website, ninababel.com, and subscribe to make sure you're in the know with my latest and greatest. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. But I want to know if this episode was good for you. Because don't forget to share it with your girlies and email me a question or even a personal story to ask@ninababel.com. You could also check out my videos on YouTube by typing in the search field Nina Babel. All right, so before I sign off, guys, I have a PSA. I'm trying to get it all in and reinvent this show to keep it fresh and exciting for all my new and existing listeners. But here's the dealio. I'm going to be adding a new segment to my podcast called Morning Sip. It's going to start this Thursday. And the topic is, that ain't what I signed up for. How many of you have said that once or twice in your lifetime? Well, it's a chance for you to sip and listen to this mini episode. And for now, these shorts will drop twice a month on Thursday mornings. But more importantly, I really want to know what you think. I want you to let me know by emailing me directly at nina@ninababel.com. Thanks, girl. Smooches.